Welcome to the Deep Dive. We're here to cut through the noise and get you those essential insights, nice and fast. Today, we're focusing on something huge for so many businesses, especially Canadian ones looking south. Cross-border e-commerce. Massive opportunity, right? But let's be real, it's also gotten trickier lately. So our goal today, give you a clear roadmap for navigating cross-border shipping, specifically looking ahead to 2025. There have been shifts in trade policies, particularly for getting goods into the U.S., and that can make things, well, a bit more difficult if you're new to this or even just doing it for the first time. We've been digging deep into ClickShip's complete 2025 cross-border shipping guide and also looking at related features, integrations, that kind of thing. We're going to pull out the really important stuff, the key insights from this guide, basically give you a shortcut so you're well-informed without getting buried in details.
Exactly. Think of this as your toolkit. We want to equip you with the must-do steps, the common traps you definitely want to avoid, and also give you a sense of the tools out there that can really streamline the whole cross-border shipping process for your business. And this isn't just for beginners. Even if you've been doing e-commerce for years, there are always refinements, ways to protect your bottom line. So valuable insights for everyone, really.
Okay, great. Let's dive into those foundational steps then. That checklist for fulfilling your first cross-border orders seems pretty comprehensive in the guide.
It really is. And it's not just what the steps are, but why each one matters so much, especially with all the nuances of international trade. So right at the top, You absolutely have to research customs regulations. That means getting your head around U.S. import requirements and knowing the Canadian Border Services Agency, the CBSA guidelines. You need to be compliant on both ends.
Right. Know the rules first.
Yeah.
Then step two seems to be determining those import duties and taxes. The guide mentions the CBSA website is good for this.
Yeah, it's a fantastic resource. It helps you figure out the duty rates based on your product's harmonized system code, the HS code. Think of it like a universal ID for your product.
Okay, a product ID.
Makes sense.
It ensures everyone, you, customs officials, they all know exactly what's being shipped.
Mm-hmm.
But hold on, even before you calculate duties, there's something absolutely critical.
What's that?
You need your import-export business number.
Yeah.
You get this from the Canada Revenue Agency, the CRA. This isn't just red tape. It's literally your passport for getting through customs, and it's essential for tax stuff, too.
Ah, okay. So without that number,
your goods aren't going anywhere.
Yeah.
Seriously. It's foundational.
Got it. Foundational. So once you have that number, then you think about getting things moving, like choosing a shipping method.
Exactly. And you want a reliable one. Something with good tracking, gets there on time. The guide suggests looking at couriers or maybe fulfillment providers who, really know cross-border shipping.
Yeah, reliability seems key for keeping customers happy. Don't want to cut corners there.
Definitely not.
Then comes the paperwork stage. Completing your shipping documentation. That means things like your commercial invoice, a packing list, maybe a certificate of origin, depending on the product.
And the key word here is
accuracy and detail. These documents are like the map customs uses. Any mistake, any little discrepancy can mean big delays.
Okay, those are some really critical steps. Reading through the guide, what struck me wasn't just the big items, but how seemingly small details, like that import-export number you mentioned, could totally derail things if you miss them. Was that your biggest takeaway from this initial checklist, or was there something else that you think often gets overlooked?
That's a really good point. They're all vital, honestly. But I think the biggest aha moment for a lot of businesses comes when they realize that prepaying customs duties and taxes isn't just like a nice to have.
Right. It's more than convenience.
Oh, way more. It's like your express lane through customs. It can turn potential days of delay into just minutes or hours. So many businesses try to let the customer handle duties on delivery to save a bit upfront.
Yeah, I can see the appeal.
But that friction, it can totally wreck the customer experience. Suddenly they get hit with unexpected fees. It's often not worth the perceived saving.
That makes total sense. Okay, so we've got the how-to checklist down. But knowing what not to do is just as important, isn't it? It feels like small mistakes here could lead to massive headaches.
You've hit the nail on the head. Avoiding these common mistakes is just as crucial as following the steps. And honestly, these are often lessons learned the hard way by others, so you can kind of skip that pain.
Okay, lay it on us. What's mistake number one?
Skipping shipping insurance. This is a big one. Cross-border shipping just inherently has more risks, right? Longer distances, more handling points.
Things get lost, damaged.
Exactly. Stolen goods, damage, accidents, even weather disasters. It happens. And if it does and you're not insured, it hits your bottom line and damages your customer relationship.
Yeah, that trust factor is huge. Okay, what's next on the don't do list?
Being careless with your carrier choice. Don't just pick the cheapest option without digging deeper. You need a carrier with responsive customer service, good tech for tracking.
So do your homework.
Absolutely. Read reviews, maybe even send a few test shipments, especially before your busy season hits. Or if you're shipping to a new country, check their stability.
Good advice. Test runs. What else?
Skimping on packaging. This affects you in two ways. Bad packaging, obviously, means more risk of damage, but it's also about brand perception, right? What does that crumpled box say about your business?
Right. And there's more to it than just damage.
Yeah. The guide makes a great point about oversized boxes. You end up using loads of filler material dunnage, they call it. Bubble wrap, peanuts.
You're basically paying to ship air.
Exactly. You said it. It's wasteful and costs you more. Having a few different box sizes on hand helps you cut supply costs, reduce damage risk, lower shipping fees, and it even gives a better, greener unboxing experience.
Paying to ship air. I won't forget that. Okay. Related to costs, the guide also warns about miscalculating your packages. This sounds subtle.
It is subtle, but oh, so costly. You have to be accurate with weight and dimensions. Measure the outside of the box and always round up.
Why round up?
Because carriers reweigh and measure everything at their sorting hubs. They calculate something called chargeable weight. It might be the actual weight or it might be the dimensional weight, basically, how much space it takes up. Whichever is greater, that's what you pay for.
Dimensional weight, dim weight. I've heard of that.
Exactly. If your numbers don't match theirs, bam, you get hit with a chargeback. It's a penalty fee.
Ouch.
Yeah. These fees eat into your profits, mess up your accounting, and sometimes even delay the shipment while they sort it out. It's why measuring before and after packing is the smart move.
Crucial detail.
Yeah.
Okay. Last mistake, and this feels big for customer relations.
Yeah.
Not setting clear shipping expectations.
Huge. Cross-border nearly always takes longer than domestic, and customer expectations are sky high these days, right? So if you're not upfront,
you get unhappy customers, bad reviews.
Precisely. So what do you do? The guide suggests clear shipping info right on your storefront, estimated delivery times shown at checkout, and really good end-to-end tracking that the customer can actually use.
Transparency is key then.
Totally. And you know, what's really interesting is how all these mistakes kind of link together. Mess up packaging, it might affect dimensions, leading to chargebacks, maybe delays, which then upsets the customer. It's like a chain reaction. One weak link
can mess up the whole thing. Yeah, I see that. Okay, let's peel back another layer here. Especially for folks moving bigger stuff like pallets, we need to talk about LTL, less than truckload, and the role of COMA, you know, what used to be USMCA.
Right. For those larger palletized shipments, getting the documentation spot on and sticking to agreements like CUSMA is, well, it's paramount. It's not just about being efficient. It's about staying legal and avoiding major holdups. The guide really hammers this home. Making sure all your documents are accurate is even more critical for LTL. Why? Because these shipments often get closer inspection at the border. Precision prevents delays, prevents seizure even. Get it right. Save yourself a world of pain.
I can just imagine the stress. A whole truckload of goods stuck because of one typo. You heard stories like that?
Oh, absolutely. Think about seasonal items, right? Stuck at the border for a week because someone messed up one digit on a certificate of origin. That's not just a delay. That could be your whole season's revenue gone.
Wow. Okay, so what are the must-have documents for LTL specifically?
You generally need three key things. First, the bill of lading. That's like the title deed and the contract all in one. Second, a customs invoice declaring the value. And third, especially for trade within North America, the certificate of origin.
Right, the certificate of origin. The guide calls it your CSMA passport. And it mentions this has become even more critical because of something called the suspension of the U.S. de minimis. Can you break that down quickly? What does that suspension actually mean for shippers?
Yeah, that suspension is a really big deal. De minimis basically refers to a value threshold below which goods could enter a country, like the U.S., often without duties or taxes or with minimal inspection.
So small shipments sailed through.
Pretty much, yeah. But with that threshold suspended for many shipments coming into the U.S. from Canada and Mexico, every shipment, regardless of its value, potentially faces duties and closer scrutiny.
Ah, okay, so no more easy pass for low-value stuff.
Exactly. Which makes proving your goods qualify for preferential treatment under COSMA absolutely essential. The certificate of origin is your proof that your goods meet the rules. usually meaning they were mostly made in North America and therefore should get lower or zero duties.
So you're proving it's North American roots, basically. Mm-hmm. Of all the info needed on that certificate, what's the bit that tends to trip people up the most?
Good question. There are 9 key pieces of info needed, but the one that often causes confusion is identifying the specific CUSMA Article 4.2 Rule of Origin that applies to your product.
Rule of origin sounds complicated.
It can be. It's not enough to just say made in North America. You have to show how it qualifies based on the specific rules for that type of product, like what percentage of its value came from North American parts or labor. Getting that specific rule right is key to claiming CUSMA benefits.
Okay, details matter deeply. The guide also talks about needing to organize and clearly label everything, and part of that is finding the tariff classification number.
Right. Think of the tariff classification number, or HS code we mentioned earlier, as the product's specific barcode for international trade. You find it using the harmonized tariff schedule. This number, plus where it was made, tells customs exactly what it is and, crucially, how much duty might be owed.
Get it wrong, yeah.
And you cause delays, maybe pay the wrong amount. It's like using the wrong price tag. Plus, if you have different items on one pallet, clear labeling just helps everyone, inspectors, your receiving customer, sort things out way faster.
Makes sense. And finally, estimating duties and taxes.
Yes, do this thoroughly. Duty rates depend on lots of things. The product type, its value, where it's from. Getting a good estimate up front helps you avoid having your shipment held hostage at the border because, oops, you didn't calculate enough for the duties owed. You know, connecting this back, getting CUSMA and all this LTL documentation right isn't just about avoiding fines. It's really about creating predictable, smooth supply chains. And in today's world, that's a serious competitive edge.
Definitely. Okay, we've covered the rules, the mistakes, the LTL complexities. Let's switch gears now to the solutions. How can technology, like these platforms the guide mentions, actually help simplify all this? How can they be like a co-pilot?
That's a great way to put it. These integrated platforms use tech to tackle both the checklist items we discussed and help you sidestep those common mistakes. It turns something daunting into something, well, manageable. One of the first things they often offer is access to discounted shipping rates. Getting better rates on parcel and pallet shipping from carriers you trust, that hits the bottom line directly.
Lower costs are always good.
Mm-hmm.
But it's more than just rates, right? The integrations sound key.
Oh, hugely. Extensive e-commerce integrations mean the platform talks directly to your Shopify store, your WooCommerce site, maybe your Amazon or Etsy marketplace account.
So no more manual order entry.
Exactly. Orders flow in seamlessly. It saves massive amounts of time, reduces errors. It just streamlines everything from the moment you make a sale.
Okay, that sounds powerful. What about specific features that tackle those pain points we talked about, like setting customer expectations?
Perfect example. Features like real-time rates at checkout do exactly that. Your customer sees the actual shipping cost up front, no surprises.
And what about when things go wrong, like damaged shipments?
Good platforms often have built-in claims management. Instead of you chasing the carrier, they help manage the claim process. It's faster, less hassle, and ties right back to mitigating those insurance worries we discussed. Protects your customer relationship, too.
That alone sounds like it could remove a lot of stress. Any other standout features?
Well, for businesses doing higher volumes, things like bulk shipping processing, maybe 100 orders at once is a lifesaver. And features like smart packaging optimization.
Ah, the don't ship air solution.
Exactly. It lets you test different box combinations virtually to find the most cost-effective and protective way to ship before you actually pack anything. Cuts waste, cuts costs.
That's clever.
And things like shipping rules, setting up automations, like if the order is over 2 kilograms and going to California, use Carrier X that saves incredible time and ensures consistency.
And the guide specifically mentioned a CUSMA compliance guide as a resource within these platforms.
Yeah, some platforms offer specific resources like that. Tips on HS codes, documentation checklists, even advice on supplier management for CUSMA or how to be ready if you get audited. It's that targeted help you need for tricky areas like U.S. trade policy.
So it pulls everything together.
Pretty much. It raises that interesting question, doesn't it? Instead of battling each cross-border challenge one by one, how can you use one of these integrated, feature-packed platforms to just transform your whole approach? Move from putting out fires to proactively optimizing. They really aim to be an all-in-one solution, often without big upfront fees, just to help you manage orders better and grow your business across borders more easily, more affordably.
That really does frame it differently. Okay, let's recap. We've covered a lot of ground today and gained some really essential knowledge, I think. We went through that detailed checklist for your first cross-border shipment, hitting on things like the import-export number, and why prepaying duties is so smart. We identified those common, costly mistakes, skipping insurance, careless carrier choice, bad packaging, miscalculating dimensions, and failing to set customer expectations. Then we dove into the specifics of LTL shipping and just how critical CSMA compliance is now, especially with that de minimis change. And finally, we explored how integrated platforms with features like real-time rates, claims, help, and smart packaging can really act as your co-pilot. Our aim here was really to distill that comprehensive guide, give you the core knowledge quickly, you know, without the overwhelm.
Absolutely. And maybe a final thought to leave you with, considering how fast global trade policies are changing and how high customer expectations keep getting, how proactive are you? Really, are you continuously updating your knowledge? Are you leveraging technology not just to cope, but to actually thrive in this cross-border e-commerce world? It's such a dynamic space. Staying ahead, adapting, that's really the key to long-term success, isn't it?